So what's our primary purpose in life? I always like going to the beginning. And let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. And it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." What this statement denotes is that every evening, Adam and Eve hanged out with God. They had fellowship, they walked, they discussed the happenings of the day. They were basically friends, all right? And what's interesting is that in chapter 1, it doesn't say that let us go, when God is speaking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, he's not saying, let us create man in our own image and likeness so that we can get an extra worker to tend to the Garden of Eden. God was not looking for a Shamba boy to tend to his garden. No. In fact, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are present and were created." We were created for God's pleasure or relationship. So we are created for fellowship and communion with God. This is our primary purpose. When you ask, what's my purpose in life? Your primary purpose is to hang out with God. That's what he intends for you and I. Some of you might say, well, that's the Old Testament. Things changed. What about the New? I'm glad you asked. Let us look at Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. And it says, "Now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about," or she was very busy, "with much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" We were created for intimacy and relationship with God. Your vocation, your job, your ministry is secondary. All right? And now we begin to enter into the book of Romans. We begin to find out the steps that we need to take to find, follow, and fulfill God's will. Step number one, we need to yield our body and mind. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." What this scripture is saying is that we need to die to self by presenting our body as a living sacrifice. All right? The sin nature, or what we call the fallen man, tends towards evil. It moves towards evil. The sin nature is naturally in rebellion to God. It is basically driven by selfishness and self-centeredness. Basically, it exhibits the aspects of greed, gluttony, covetousness, jealousy, envy, sexual immorality, falsehoods, and murder. That's what the sin nature will drive you towards. But when you're born again, what you do is that you exchange your sin nature with the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, your spirit is born again. Your spirit is holy. Your spirit is sealed. In fact, there's a scripture that says your spirit is sealed by the Holy Spirit. However, your mind and your body remain the same. They're intact. So if the mind is not renewed, it will gravitate towards what it was taught by the old sin nature. All right? So if the mind is not being renewed, although you're born again, you still find yourself doing the things that you know you should not be doing. All right? And we have great enablers out there. All right? We have friends. We have family. All right? We have the world that will teach you stuff. There is another one called Netflix. And social media, all thrown in there. So dying to self means denying your mind and your body a free hand in determining the course of your life and the agenda of your day. That's what denying yourself means. That I'll not be dictated by my mind and my body what to do. It will not set my agenda. It will not set the course of my life. That's what dying to self means. It is a total and constant surrender of your will in favor of God's. Handing over the reins of power and control to God rather than what your body or your mind or your unrenewed mind wants. For example, it is a total and constant surrender of your will in favor of God's. It's handing over the reins of power and control to God rather than what the body or the unrenewed mind wants. For example, I may want to binge on Netflix on Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. It feels good. I have a lot of stuff to catch up on, and my buddies have been telling me, you haven't watched that thing? And I'm like, hey, I should. But I should stop myself and ask, perhaps does God want to hang out with me? Probably he may want to say something to me. He may want me to be a blessing or speak a word to someone else or encourage them. You need to be his hands and his feet. Now, I'm not inviting you to be a weird person. I'm not saying never watch Netflix. No. Everything is done in moderation. But what I'm asking you is to be obsessed with God. Obsessed with him. Let him possess you more than Netflix or social media. All right? And the other thing is that we'll notice is that that particular scripture verse is that the problem with the living sacrifice is that it keeps crawling off the altar. And therefore, presenting your body and yielding your mind to God is a daily exercise. It's not a one-off. We have to daily deny ourselves. We have to daily lay ourselves on the altar. And basically, dedicating your life to him is your reasonable service. Remember, God, in the form of Jesus, his son, the creator of heaven and earth, came and he died for you. He suffered for you. He took on the penalty of sin. Excuse me. He died and took on the penalty of sin in your place. It is only reasonable. And we're being beseeched. We're not being commanded. We're being beseeched. We're being asked by the mercies of God. We beseech you. Make your bodies or give your bodies as a living sacrifice. So it's only reasonable that we give of our bodies to him, recognizing what Jesus did for us. So it's not quite unreasonable when you're asked to commit your life to him. So what's the second step towards finding, following, and fulfilling God's will? The second step is transformation by renewing of your mind. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. The word transformed there means, the Greek word for it is metamorpho, to change into another form, to transform, to transfigure. For example, from a caterpillar to a butterfly. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, the world has patterns and systems that contend to shape your philosophy and outlook in life. You don't need to do much to be conformed to the patterns of this world. All you have to do is just to exist. Sorry. All you have to do is just to exist and do what regular people do. Just do regular things like regular people do. Just have to exist. I'm not saying you even do anything wrong. Just do what regular people do, regular things. You will have conformed to the patterns of this world. In fact, the world will teach you what to desire. It will give you a measure, a yardstick of how to measure success. It will tell you this is success, this is not. By simply existing and conforming to the world. The world teaches you that you make your own plan and make it happen. It's the art of self-reliance. Self-reliance, kujiamini, bidii ya mwanaume, is one of the greatest hindrances to you finding, following, and fulfilling God's will. And I must say, I must qualify my statement, a word of caution, that it is dangerous to yield your body and your mind without renewing your mind. Oh yeah. It is dangerous to totally yield your body and your mind without renewing your mind. Because the devil will take advantage of a totally yielded person, especially one who has not renewed their mind. I'll give you an example. There are those people, I call them extremists of the sovereignty of God doctrine. They believe that God gets glory through your suffering. They believe that God will put sickness and disease and poverty on you so that he can get glory. And those things we know even lead to death. We've just read in Jeremiah chapter 29 that his plans for you are good and not of evil. Those things are evil. We read John 10:10 that the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. So if something is stolen, if it's killed and destroyed, that is not God. He came that we may have life more abundantly, to the full, till it overflows. So that's what I mean by those extremists of the sovereignty of God doctrine. So those guys are maybe totally yielded to God, body and even mind, but they have not renewed their mind using or through the word of God. So when one is totally yielded and renews their mind through the word of God, God begins to reveal his will to us one step at a time. One step at a time. He doesn't reveal everything at one go. And hence, that's why that particular verse is talking about, it's in three stages. The good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's basically similar to Mark chapter 4, verse 28. You know, the Bible gives a commentary on itself so that whatever I say, it should be checked out by another particular scripture. And this is what it says, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." Those are three stages. The blade, the ear, then the full corn in the ear. You know what? If God ever revealed his destiny for you, his will for your life, some of us would actually give up the journey. And it's wise on his part to just show you a bit at a time. And hence the need for constant fellowship with him. So, this is how God begins to reveal his plans for us. Psalms 37 verse 4. This is what he does. This is how he goes about it. And it says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." This scripture is not saying that if I am happy in the Lord and I desire a Lamborghini and 1,000 acres in Syokimau, let me say, or you desire a Lamborghini and 1,000 acres in Syokimau and a trophy husband or wife thrown in there. No, it's not talking about that. He's referring to the blessed man or woman in Psalms chapter 1 verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." When you delight yourself in his law by meditating in his word day and night, he gives you the desires of your heart. In other words, he gives you his desires, which become the desires of your heart. That's what that scripture means. He begins to unravel his plan and will for your life by giving you fresh desires for your heart. You know, it's not that he doesn't want you to live a good life. Fact is that he's already provided for that. But he doesn't want you to be focused on those material things. He has greater and better things that, as we said, will give you joy, peace, and satisfaction. I can say on a personal level that as I've delighted myself in the Lord, he started to reveal to me one thing at a time. One thing he has revealed to me is that our desire he's given me is to teach the word. And I hope it's a blessing to you guys. It's a desire he's given me. I can do this for free. I don't have to be paid to do this. It gives me great joy and delight and satisfaction. I know I have to be careful how I go about it, because when I'm preparing, it's like I blank out my family, and my wife doesn't like it. You can tell that. So I also have to find balance and use wisdom. But I delight in it. I enjoy it. If you asked me this question 10 years ago, I would have said, I am not sure about that thing. But as I've delighted myself in him, he has given me his desires, which have become mine. So in conclusion, God is after your heart more than he's interested in your service. Some people are happy to give of their service, but will not surrender their heart, nor renew their mind. As we read, God's primary will for your life is to be intimate with him. Your vocation, whatever you do, even your ministry, comes secondary. He's less interested in that, but more interested in your heart. It's very important that we do it, all right? But primarily, he wants to be intimate with you. I'll give you one example. My wife, who's here, will ensure that my clothes are washed and ironed, and that I have a hot meal. Whatever time of the day it is, she ensures that happens. But if these two acts of service are the only things that define our relationship, then at some point I'll begin to resent them. Why? Because I desire her companionship and her love more than some iron shirts for me. And it's the same thing with God. He wants you more than he wants what you can do for him. And we should always distinguish between those two. So as I end, we look at Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. It says, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice." Mercy is an act of grace. Sacrifice is an action or something, an act of service. And the knowledge of God, knowledge here is intimate relationship with him. That's what it means. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Knowing him intimately is what we're calling the knowledge of God. John 17, verse 3. "And this is eternal life." This is how eternal life is defined. "That they may know you, the only true God." The word "know," we said, is intimate knowledge. "That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." The last scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, it says, "Grace and peace." Grace there means unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. "And peace," shalom, shalom, nothing missing and nothing broken, "be multiplied to you in the knowledge, in the intimate relationship of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." In other words, when you hang out with him, when you're in relationship with him, he gives us, or he has given us, all things that pertain to life and godliness. We will not be lost for answers or solutions to problems. It goes on to say and repeat, through the knowledge, through relationship again with him, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So we've read only two verses in Romans chapter 12. But it's all about God's primary will for you. How you find out what he has predestined you to do. And this thing is revealed to you a step at a time. But he's inviting us to hang out with him. He's inviting you into relationship. And also he's asking that you may renew your mind. How I get to know God is by reading his word, is meditating his word, is being in the Word constantly and just searching out this lover of my soul. Is when I seek Him, when I look for Him, I want to know more about Him. I want to even listen to podcasts and videos about Him, because I desire to know Him daily. And He's inviting you to a similar relationship this day. So with our eyes closed, Father, I thank You for this opportunity to share Your Word. Even as You've shared in Romans chapter 1 and 2, You giving us the steps in which, Father, we find, follow, and fulfill Your will for us. Thank You for speaking Your Word to us, for revealing to us what we need to do in clear, concise steps that we need to take, Father, to grow relationship with You, to be intimate with You, to seek You, to search You. And Father, You say that when we do so with all of our heart, we will find You. Father, we seek You. We pledge and determine to seek You with everything that we have. Father, we thank You that indeed, as we find You, You reveal that which You brought us on earth to do. And we're able to answer the question of why we're here. Thank You, Father, for Your grace. And I thank You for Your Word never falls to the ground. Indeed, the entrance of Your Word brings light. And it will bring light, Father, into many areas of people have asked questions and wondered, what am I here to do? Father, I thank You that as I seek You, indeed, Father, You'd only be delighted to show Yourself to them. We honor You and we love You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sam, for that. You know, even as Sam was taking us through Romans, one of the scriptures that I remembered was David's charge to Solomon. And he told Solomon, learn to know the God of your father in an intimate manner. That it is not just enough to know about Him, but to know Him from the depths of who you are, who is God. That as He moves, as He speaks, because He moves and He speaks to each and every one of us, that we will not be unsure when He's speaking to us. And, you know, a couple of weeks back I said, I realized when Ezra is elsewhere, and me, I love to sleep, by the way. Me, I love my sleep. But when Ezra wakes up and even just coughs, I never thought that my ear would be able to be so tuned, but I would be able to know Ezra has coughed, Ella has coughed. That our Father hears us and He can never confuse Omari's voice with Terence's voice. And in the same way, because our Father knows us, that as His children, we need to know Him to a point whereby as He speaks, we are like, Father, I've heard of You. I've heard You speaking. But it takes us time as we spend time with Him, as we lock ourselves up in our closets and decide that we are pursuing after God. And as we do that, as we continuously renew our mind and allow His voice to be the voice that is in here. You know, there are so many records that can keep playing in our mind. But we need to allow His voice to be the voice that is, what's the word? Prominent. I thought of a Kiswahili word. Ambacho kime, kipaumbele. Kipaumbele. Yonjo kipaumbele. And God will continue to lead us. Amen. It's our time to give our tithes and offerings. And the giving slide will be is up behind me. And even as we get to our time of giving, this week I was challenged by a podcast I was listening to, and the person was talking about generosity. And he asked a simple question. And I want to ask you, what percentage do you think when you start giving that qualifies for you to say you are a generous person? 100%? 90%? Collins? 30%. Then this person said, you know, when we give our tithes and offerings, our tithes, that is 10%. And that 10%, it is a commandment that we have. So if we are giving the 10%, we can't say we are generous. He said, until we step into the 11% percentile going upwards, that's when we can start saying that we're moving towards generosity. And I was challenged. And I want to challenge you, even as you give this morning, that let's move towards generosity even as we give. And the details are on the screen. You can either do it by Lipa na M-Pesa. And the details are on the screen. If you're giving towards our vision builders, the details are still on the screen. If you want to swipe your card, Gabriel is on the info desk and you can be able to walk where Gabriel is. If you want to give cash, you can do so and walk towards where Gabriel is. And I'll give us 10 seconds to finish. Father, we thank you and we bless you. We honor you and we give you all the praise. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for allowing us to come and to give. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We pray, may you cause us to live in the place of generosity. That, Lord, may you speak to our hearts. May you speak to us. And Lord, we thank you for those that are trusting you for all manner of provision that comes from above. Lord, we pray, may you open every source of resource for your people to the glory and honor of your name. We continue praying for our economy. We continue to pray that, Lord, even in these times, may you come through for those who are entrusting you for the basics, for those who are entrusting you for provision of all kinds, for those who are trusting you for rent, for school fees, for food, for everything possible, to the glory and honor of your name. We honor you, Father. Those trusting you for business ideas, those, Lord, who are yet and about to launch business ideas, Lord, we thank you and we entrust you even with all capital that is needed for every business to be launched, for all the ideas to come alive. And we entrust you, for you are our source, you are our God, and there is none like you. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We can be up on our feet standing for one last announcement, then we can call it a service. The last announcement is on Culture Course, which is happening straight after the service. So after this, you can head over to the hall, and your teas and coffees and all that will be provided for in the meeting place. So I want you to ask your neighbor, what are you taking away from the service? What are you taking away from the service? Yes. praying that that which you have taken away will not be taken away from you. And that this week you will walk in the reality of who God says you are. That we will walk in an intimate relationship with Him. That as our Father, you know, we are able to speak to the people around us and say, Father has said this with all assurity from heaven, because heaven backs us as we are speaking what heaven is saying to us and through us. So walk in this confidence, be in this confidence, and invite your neighbor to come and experience a place to find freedom and encounter and find belonging and find transformation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.